flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome in another edition of Early Odds on 670 The Score. Jake Hassan with you for the next hour. Appreciate everybody stopping by and listening to the show. Going to be another awesome show. Obviously, a big football show once again, as we are now fully in the thick of college and NFL football season, which is really exciting. And, you know, even though the bets have been, well, let's say they've been okay. They've been mid, let's say it that way. But, you know, we're still, I think it's been a weird season for college and NFL especially. But we're learning a lot, and we're on this journey together. And we're going through this process of learning about these teams as we go. And I think that's a really beautiful thought for all of us. Please don't curse at me now. But I digress. Listen, we're learning a lot, and we're going to keep making these. We're going to keep firing, and we're doing our best, right? The goal is for all of us is to win money and to win, and that's what we're going to try and do. So another week of football to break down and talk about. Got a ton of bets to bring to you today. Have a great guest, Colby Marcio of Betting News. He's going to join us to talk NFL, to give us a couple of college plays, and to break down some MLB futures as well. So Colby Marcio coming up in the next segment. But to open the show, as we usually do, it's going to be me. It's going to be Jake Hassan here on Early Odds, 670 The Score, as we get this thing started and just talk about, obviously, we're going to start with NFL. A really interesting slate this week. A lot of weird numbers that at first, I'm going to be honest, I was staring at all week, because I was staring at a lot of these numbers that were floating around, a lot of fours and fives and a couple of twos. And it was just really bizarre, because those are hard numbers to get a feel for. And you kind of always want to wait for key numbers, 3 or 6 or 7. And a lot of these games have, they've been dancing around them and they've been moving. And maybe we get them at the last second in a couple of spots, but it's just been really hard to evaluate. All that to say, I have a bunch of bets. I'm still gonna give you a bunch of bets for today. But you know, it was a different week to analyze and to kind of break down here. It was a little more of getting in the weeds, and a little more thought was given to each game, which hopefully leads to a bunch of wins, which would be really great, obviously, and I'll get to when I talk about this game. I mean, the Saints just, and I said a lot last week, like, trust your eyeballs, trust what your eyeballs are telling you. Guess I shouldn't have done that. Maybe we don't just trust our eyeballs off rip, and we don't just kind of blindly tell what our eyeballs are showing us. But listen, that's what we're here for. We're learning a lot. Quick update before we get into the games, just on the awards markets. Patrick Mahomes, your favorite for MVP, closely followed by Josh Allen, CJ Stroud, and Jalen Hurts at 12-1. Jalen Hurts is Allen and Stroud at about 5-1. Mahomes, your favorite, like plus 250. Don't think there's anything to do here. I think that these numbers are just kind of right. I don't think anyone is going to make a huge push for this award, at least not yet. Carr is interesting, but the number has changed so much. Obviously, he's at like 30-35-1 now, and I don't think there's anything to do there yet. I also just, I'm not a believer in the Saints. I don't believe that this is going to keep up. They could be a 9-10 win team, but I just don't think that Derek Carr is going to throw for a billion yards every week, you know? So I think right now the market for MVP is just kind of right. But I think Offensive Player of the Year is wide open, especially with the injury of Christian McCaffrey. And I think that's the biggest thing here, because he was the favorite and he was somebody who had a lot of win probability baked into these numbers. And now here we are. CeeDee Lamb is plus 750, just about at your as your favorite, followed closely by Saquon Barkley and Justin Jefferson. They're about 9-10-1. Tyreek Hill is at like 12-1. I want nothing to do with that, while Skylar Thompson is going to be starting games. No idea when Tua Tagovailoa is going to be back. No idea if he'll be back. So I want nothing to do with any Miami Dolphin. And that actually plays into one of the bets for this NFL week. We'll get to that. But I think personally, I'm still very high on Amon-Ra St. Brown. He had 11 catches and over 100 yards in their week two loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after he had a very disappointing week one. I think he's back on track. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown at 20-1, about there, is really interesting. He's somebody I'm very high on. As the Lions, they're going to continue playing indoor games. And honestly, they haven't even looked that good yet. And he still was able to put up an 11 catch over like 111 yards, 110 yards, something like that, week. So I think if he's doing that before the Lions have even started to really find themselves and hit their stride, I think 20-1, there's some value. I think Ja'Marr Chase has some value as well. I think Joe Burrow and the Bengals, obviously they're 0-2 as of, you know, this show right now, but I don't think that's going to stick around. The Bengals, I think, are better. They should have won that game, honestly, against the Chiefs in week two. So I think that's a number that could change very quickly, is Ja'Marr Chase's number. Because obviously, Joe Burrow, that's his guy. And that's the guy he's always going to target and go to at the end of the day. And in that game in week two, only 4 catches for 35 yards. I mean, he doesn't even have 100 yards on the season yet. But a guy that could take off, a guy that could, especially this week when they get the Commanders at home, like that's a spot where Ja'Marr Chase could go for 150, 200 yards. And this number craters all the way to 10-1. So I think Ja'Marr Chase is interesting. Look, I'm really high on Amon-Ra St. Brown though, myself. Otherwise, I don't really have anything for any of these other numbers. It's more of a wait and see. It's early in the season. I mean, last year we didn't even know, you know, in December, Lamar Jackson was like third favorite for MVP. You know, Joe Flacco for comeback player of the year, he wasn't even in the market until October. So we have time to figure this out and for things to play out. But those are just kind of the big ones, the big updates. But let's get into what everybody is here for, the games themselves. And I mentioned the Dolphins, and I mentioned that I want nothing to do with any Dolphins players. And because of that, I'm going to be taking the Seahawks. I'm going to take them in this game. I'm going to lay the points with the Seahawks because, listen, what are the Dolphins going to try and do with Tua out? Like, they're not going to let Skylar Thompson toss it all around the yard. They're not going to trust him. They're like, look at what the Packers did in week two with Malik Willis. They ran the ball a ton. And I think the Dolphins are going to try and do the same. And I say try because I think Mike McDonald is going to be keyed in on the run. And I think he's going to dare them being the Dolphins. I think Mike McDonald's going to dare Mike McDaniel and Skylar Thompson to beat him. I don't think he's just going to let the Dolphins beat him with Devin Achan. That's not going to happen. He's going to load the box. He's going to make it a priority to stop the run. And he's going to say, here, I dare you to have Skylar Thompson try and beat me. So I like the Seahawks. I know they have some injury stuff. Kenneth Walker missed a couple practices. So did DK Metcalf. But I think the Seahawks can overcome this. Zach Charbonnet is a fine replacement for Kenneth Walker. Jackson Smith and Jigba and Tyler Lockett can hold it down. They're not DK Metcalf, but they're good enough. And so in this same vein, I'm laying it with the Seahawks. Numbers have bounced around 4.5, 5, 5.5. I like it. I will lay it with the Seahawks. I think that Mike McDonald is a very good head coach. And I think if he's daring Skylar Thompson to beat him. And I think if Mike McDaniel falls for that trap, I think Seahawks win. So that was the first look for me with the Seahawks. Listen, I'm going to go back to the Vikings. Like, if they're going to keep playing like this, I'm just going to keep going back to the Vikings because they are a surprise team for sure. They look really good, and I know it's the Texans who we in Chicago just watched beat the Bears on Sunday Night Football, and they beat the Indianapolis Colts. But listen, the Texans were dying to lose both of those games. Like, they barely beat the Colts and Anthony Richardson and Shane Steichen, and then they beat Matt Eberflus and a struggling Caleb Williams. Like, okay, great. Sam Darnold looks awesome, and now also add Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson to that equation. And Justin Jefferson, it looks like he's going to play, and that injury isn't going to keep him out of this game. So I think the Vikings are going to win outright, to be completely honest. I don't even want the points, the 2.5. I'll take the Vikings outright in this game, especially at home. I really like this. This is another one where I'm just going to ride the train with the Vikings because I think that they have surprised people. I think you're still getting some hashtag value on them. I still think they're being a little bit underrated. So I'll take the Vikings on the money line here. I think the Texans are primed for a letdown spot after they were, again, dying to lose either of their first two games to the Colts or to the Bears. So like the Vikings look a lot. Another one that I'm on, and I'm not even going to take the points. Again, same thing. I'm just taking them outright. Give me the Chargers. And I know that the Pittsburgh Steelers have an awesome defense. And I know TJ Watt looks like the guy that's going to win the defensive player of the year right now. And I know Mike Tomlin always has his guys prepared. But listen, let's just bake it down to one singular factor. Justin Herbert versus Justin Fields. And I know Justin Fields doesn't have a turnover yet, and I know he's started 2-0, and I know everyone in the city is handling that totally normally and is having very right and correct opinions about that. Can you tell I'm being sarcastic? I just think that when it comes at the end of the day, you're giving me Justin Herbert versus Justin Fields. I know that the Chargers made a point to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball and run the ball a million times in the first couple of weeks of the season. But if you're telling me that Jim Harbaugh can't adapt and can't say, okay, the run isn't working, let me just go to my guy who has MVP caliber potential in Justin Herbert. Yeah, that's all. And I know Justin Herbert wasn't at practice earlier in the week, and I know, like, it's fine. He's going to play. He's going to be there, and I'm not super worried about it. I'm taking the Chargers to win this game. I think this is a perfect letdown spot for the Steelers where everybody's back on them. They're 2-0. Mike Tomlin's done it again. He fixed Justin Fields. Give me the Chargers outright. I want the Chargers on the money line in this game, and I think this is how the Chargers announce that they're for real and that they're sticking around. Like the spot for them. I think it's a letdown spot for the Steelers at home. Give me the Chargers on the money line in this game. Justin Herbert versus Justin Fields. Okay, great. Give me Justin Herbert. 10 times out of 10. Thanks. Another quarterback situation, I guess. Let's go with this, and maybe you see where I'm going with this. Quarterback change. What did we see in Green Bay? Jordan Love was out. Malik Willis starts. Team rallies around him. Has a game plan. They win the game as underdogs. Going to another one. It's gross. It's stinky. It doesn't make me feel good. But I'm taking the Panthers. I'm not going to take them outright, to be very clear. But I will take the points with the Panthers against the Raiders. Raiders have this huge upset win over the Ravens. They're flying high. They feel like they're back. And you're catching 5 with the Panthers. I'll take those 5 with Andy Dalton. Listen, first of all, the narrative, the quarterback change, rally around the backup. The Panthers at least have some guys. Like, Xavier Leggett is a talent. I think he has a lot of upside. Adam Thielen's not what he used to be, but he's still very serviceable there. And I think that there's some weapons for the Panthers and for Andy Dalton to be able to utilize there. I think there's enough there that Andy Dalton can cover 5 against Antonio Pierce and the Las Vegas Raiders and Gardner Minshew. Like, Andy Dalton also, let's be clear, Andy Dalton, at least right now, is an upgrade from Bryce Young. Bryce Young didn't up to the podium saying, oh, my faith is in the Lord. It's been 2 weeks, man. What? Like, I hope Bryce Young goes on to have a very long and fruitful career. But as of right now, you're getting up to the podium and saying, yep, It's in God's hands now. In week two, Andy Dalton is very clearly an upgrade over that. Like, Bryce Young's confidence is shattered. Andy Dalton has at least won games in the NFL. He's won playoff games. Like, I'll take Andy Dalton in that spot, getting five against Las Vegas Raiders. That's a great spot. I really like that. And so I'm going to take the points with the Panthers, which it bit me in the butt in week one. But listen, quarterback change, narrative play, I like it. Some thoughts. Actually, before I get to Bears, there's one more outright underdog that I like. My apologies. I like the Cardinals against Detroit. I think the Cardinals have been super impressive. Their offense has looked great. Marvin Harrison Jr. gets on track in week two after being non-existent in week one. And then Kyler Murray is playing really well, and we got to ride this Kyler Murray train while we can before Call of Duty comes out in November. So, you know, only a couple games here, people, to get on the Kyler Murray hype train. But I'm going to be on the Cardinals outright. They're underdogs at home, and that's always a spot where I like to play home dogs, like, because you're not giving them enough credit, I don't think. So you give me a home dog with the Cardinals, with Kyler Murray, who's playing well and with confidence right now, and the Lions are taking money. Like, this started 2, 2.5. It's now getting to 3, 3.5. I'm just going to take the Cardinals outright in that scenario. The Lions, like, played terribly against the Buccaneers. And I know this juxtaposes with me liking Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think this could be a high-scoring game. I'm not thinking the Cardinals are going to smoke them like they smoked the Rams. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. And in that sense, I kind of like the over 51.5. But just give me the Cardinals as a home dog. And if it comes down to it, and it's going to come down to one head coach making a shrewd or smart decision, I'm taking Jonathan Gannon every single time over Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell's up there on TV last week saying, oh, yeah, that was a mistake by me. My guy's got to overcome it now. What? By the way, they didn't. They lost the game. So I'm going to take Jonathan Gannon to be the guy to make the right decision in a late game or end of half scenario that ends up going on to be very important to the rest of the game. So give me the Cardinals outright in that game. I like them a lot. Like a lot of good dogs on the money line outright. What could possibly go wrong? Some thoughts for Bears and Colts. Listen, and we'll talk about it a little bit more with Colby Marcio on the other side as well, betting analyst for Betting News. But listen, the Bears were and have been disappointing. Like, there's no other way to cut it, to slice it. Like, the Bears have been disappointing. They have not been good. They had every opportunity to win the game against the Texans, and they didn't, on primetime national audience, and they chunked it, and they blew it. And Caleb Williams and that offensive line have not been good. But now you get a Colts team that is missing their best defensive player as DeForest Buckner goes on a short-term IR, and he was their most productive lineman. He's out now, and they already were having issues on defense. They weren't very good. So I think that this is a spot for Caleb Williams to get right and kind of finally find his rhythm here, which, by the way, Keenan Allen drops a touchdown pass in week one. Roma Dunze drops one in week two. Not great. Not what you want. So I think that, though, this is a good spot for the Bears to get the offense on track. And I think it's a good spot for Caleb Williams to kind of start building some momentum. Think this could be a spot too where the defense helps you and gets some short fields for you. Anthony Richardson, I think he's so talented. I think he's going to be really good, but is prone to mistakes. Like, he's a guy that makes mistakes and throws some footballs into the air that maybe are inadvisable, which, like, speaking as somebody who watched Caleb Williams, I would know. So I'm not saying take the Bears 1.5. I think if you like them there, you might as well just take them outright. But I think this could be an overplay where Anthony Richardson has a couple of miracle throws like he did in week one against the Texans, and Caleb Williams and the Bears offense starts to find their rhythm. Maybe some spots for DeAndre Swift against a Colts line that is now missing their best player. Some spots maybe for some DJ Moore props. So if I had to make a play, I would take the Bears outright at the number, but I don't have a lot of faith in it. And as a rule, I generally don't bet my teams because I don't want to lose money and also have my heart broken. But if you want to bet this game, I think props are the way to go. Maybe some Bears overs, which is probably inadvisable to say, especially after last week. But that's the spot I'm looking at. That's where I would go with this. So that's the thoughts. Those are the bets for NFL Week 3 for yours truly. On the other side, Colby Marcio going to join me, betting analyst for Betting News. We're going to talk NCAA football, not the video game, the sport. More NFL and some MLB as well. So stick with us. Quick break. This is Early Odds, 670 The Score. Jake Hassan with you. Colby Marcio joins us on the other side.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in, Jake Hassan. This is Early Odds, 670 The Score. Thanks for hanging out this morning. Got a guest joining us, teased him in the first segment, but joining me now, Colby Marcio, betting analyst for Betting News. Colby, appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
No, thank you. I feel like we do a lot of talking on the old Twitter, or AKA now known as X. No one calls it X. It's like the Sears Tower. We're never calling it the Willis. So... yeah, I feel like this has been a long time coming. I got to get you on my shows now. I got to scratch your back too. So I really appreciate this. It means a lot to me.
Yeah, no, man, absolutely. I've been hoping to make this happen for a couple weeks now since I took over this show. But no, I appreciate it, man. And we'll get into it, obviously, full football slate. I know you have a lot of thoughts on Major League Baseball. But since we are on the Score, we're both in Chicago. I mean, let's talk about the Bears for a second. Obviously, let us down in week 2 as fans, as bettors, obviously. It wasn't as bad. But how are you evaluating this team, both from a fan standpoint, and is there anything you want to do with this team this week against the Colts? Are you waiting? Is there going to be a bye point for you? And you can do a bit of fan service here too. We get your fan thoughts and your betting thoughts as well.
As somebody that had the correct spread for the Texans on Sunday, it was absolutely perfect, and I'll have more thoughts on the Texans later, but it's the same team. I think I tweeted out, this is the same team as last year with just a little less mobile quarterback. It doesn't feel the same. The plays feel the same. Every single time the offense goes out there, I'm like, there's no rhythm. I'm not that football savvy to understand schemes and whatnot. I'm not that smart, not the smartest guy out there. But I know when a play has absolutely no rhythm and it makes no sense why each play is just a dump off. Oh, we're only going 4 yards through the air. It's pathetic. It doesn't make any sense. You got a kid that can sling the ball. We're out there testing him, right? Like, why don't we just have him sling the ball? We want him to make the most mistakes as possible. We don't want him murdered on the final drive of the game. What is it? 3 sacks on that final drive that they had an attempt, air quotes, had an attempt to win the game. They didn't have any chance, and the Texans allowed them to stay in that game because of all the penalties they had. They could have ran up the score however they wanted. They completely own that game despite what the score says.
I Definitely agree with you. It's really bad when just a couple of regular dudes like us are watching that game. Like, what is this play calling? What is happening?
Not the smartest guy. There's a lot. Football is literally impossible. You guys are really intelligent, but it looks dumb from the couch.
It sure does. We're screaming at the TV, and obviously, I personally, I don't know if you agree with this, I think there will be a bye point on the Bears at some point, at least offensively, because you watch these games, and Caleb Williams, he's at least trying to make some throws, yeah. And obviously, Aroma Dunze dropped a touchdown pass, and Keenan Allen dropped one in week one. So I think there will be a bye point on the Bears at some point, whether that's team total or maybe even props.
I think it's
at some
this
point.
Week. The team total okay. with the Colts doesn't seem like a bad play. I don't even know what it is right now. I haven't looked at it. I know the sick degenerate group chat was all like, it has to be the Bears team total against the Colts. I am not going to touch it. I have too much going on for week three for the NFL. I'm not going to waste my time handicapping a Bears team that is not impressive to me.
I think that's the right move. Well, let me see it first. Let me see it in a game first. I'm fine missing exactly. the first game. Then I'll jump in. But let's talk about the NFL. Let's talk about some bets that you have made already that you do have in the hop already. And let's start with the team you mentioned. You like the Texans on the money line a lot this week after mm-hmm. they, like you said, let the Bears hang around in that game on Sunday Night Football. Tell me why you like the Texans this week.
Like I said, they made a lot of mistakes that I think they'll correct this week in practice. And they're going up against a Vikings team that is coming off a huge, huge win. Their defense looks great. Don't get me wrong. The Vikings defense looks great. The offense overperformed. Jefferson is a little banged up. We saw that at the end of the game. Now, you don't face the 49ers and then face the Texans, and you're not going – I don't think they're going to go back-to-back weeks winning those games. You either get one or you get none. So you got one. This is a letdown spot for them. And I think the Texans are just going to absolutely kill them. I mean, if you want to take the spread, I got the money line early. I took it as soon as it opened because – I couldn't go to sleep thinking about what that number was going to be, so I waited for it to come out, and then I took it Sunday night going into Monday. I think they just were sleeping in their own beds against the Bears on Sunday night. It's primetime unders. Like, there's always going to be mistakes.
No, I agree with you, and I think that people are impressed with the Vikings. Obviously, that defense might be very legit, and Kevin O'Connell is a mastermind, but a lot of people still like the Texans, still very bullish on the Texans going forward. So, I mean, that's what we do the show for, true degenerate behavior for people who stay up to bet the Lions right away. Another team, I mean, we're staying in Texas here. You like Dallas in the bounce-back spot after they get absolutely boat-raced by the New Orleans Saints and let a lot of people down, myself included. But you like Dallas this week in a bounce back.
Yeah, I wrote the Cowboys would win that game by double digits. Cool. I had no hope for the Saints. However, we're running it back because if you haven't heard, Jake, the narrative this week is the Ravens, there's no way they could start the season 0-3. There's just no way. I'm hammering the Ravens. There's no way. Yes, there is a way. Yes, there is a way. They let Gardner Minshew look like Mike Leach was still his coach at Wazoo. Sure, he went under 300 yards, but they looked too damn good. And if you want to tell if Gardner Minshew is going to be able to do that against this Ravens defense, what is Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb going to do against this defense? Dallas's defense is absolutely the real deal. Ignore week two. We can completely ignore week two. They did it in week one against the Browns. I think Lamar is going to be running for his life. And they're in their home confines, Jake, of Jerry's World. That is literally their comfortable area. Jerry's World, that's where we put up the most points in Jerry's World. It has to be. And, you know, the line keeps going towards the Ravens. I will happily double down on this play as a plus money play. I got it when it opened. I think it was minus 125. I will happily wait till Sunday and double down and bet this again at plus whatever.
So let me follow up on that, because the Ravens then, if you're right and the Cowboys win this game, the Ravens will be sitting at 0-3. They're going to be hit way behind the eight ball because, I mean, obviously the Steelers have gotten out to a fast start. We'll talk about the Bengals because I know you like them as well. But are mm-hmm. you out on the Ravens completely? Is that just going forward, it's just fade the Ravens all season long? Like, do you have anything, miss the playoffs, anything else with them?
It's so early. I still think it's hilarious how they were complaining about, well, they almost won by a toe. Well, then you had to go for two, which we know they were going to do. And then you just let the Raiders come back in the second half. You're not there. They're not in a groove yet. It's so early. I always hate the teams that start the year off 0-3, don't make the playoffs, but this percent. Well, I don't like that. You could always turn it around. The first 3 weeks are always the toughest because you got to get a feel for these teams. And I'm not going to say I'm out from this Ravens team. They're well coached. They have a fantastic quarterback who is going to get absolutely killed this weekend against the Cowboys. But other than that, I think they're still a good team. They have great players.
Anything for you on, are you buying any Cowboys stock for the future? After they win this game, obviously
It's the Cowboys. It's the Cowboys.
No. Yeah.
Buy in on the Cowboys.
I don't know how you can. Let's stay in the AFC North then, because mentioned it. You like the Bengals, and they're a team that's trying to also avoid 0-3. Luckily, they get a Commanders team that's still figuring it out. Obviously, they have a rookie quarterback as well who also has not thrown a touchdown pass yet, but you like the Bengals. Obviously, they kind of got that Chiefs game ripped away from them, and we can argue about that all day long if we wanted to. But you like the Bengals Monday night in a bounce-back spot to avoid 0-3.
Here's the thing, Bengals fans. If you're really upset, you really hate the Chiefs because the refs are on their sides. One, grow up, there's four quarters. Two, if they really were the real deal on Sunday, which they were, they looked great. We know the Bengals, they usually start off really slow. And the bounce back in week two looked phenomenal, except for the final drive of the game. I think they are going to take all of their frustration out on a team that cannot score touchdowns, that somehow managed to win a game on field goals, which is the funniest thing I've ever seen. You allow three touchdowns and you still win the game with seven field goals. That might be the most Bears win ever, not done by a Bears team. The weird number wasn't there. There wasn't that odd safety number in there. But I just want to say it's a real short handicap. Quit your crying and go take your frustration out on this team that absolutely sucks.
Speaking of Chicago,
the spread doesn't matter either way. Forgot to mention that. The spread doesn't matter unless it's above 10. I think it's like 9 right now. They'll win by double digits or they're in trouble.
I was going to say, the line has been floating around. It's laying more than a touchdown regardless, but the Bengals, obviously, they need this a lot. Mm-hmm. Sticking with that AFC North, a guy that we're very familiar with, Justin Fields, obviously won his first two games in Pittsburgh, and the city is handling it very well, as you could imagine, but it's more about that defense in Pittsburgh, and they've been awesome. They have maybe the favorite for defensive player of the year, TJ Watt, obviously awesome. I think you're going to be on the other side of what a lot of people want to bet the Chargers, I think, in this spot against the Steelers, but you like the Steelers defense keeping the Chargers under their team total.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect number. I got it at 17.5. The total is super low. It's at a cool, crisp Iowa 36. The Chargers have played Carolina and Vegas. Ooh, that's a resume builder. And they're now going up against a legitimate defense that has held teams under 300 total yards, under 90 yards rushing, which they have been relying on tremendously. J.K. Dobbins looks phenomenal. Guess what? He's going to be in a ton of trouble this week. He's facing a legitimate defense that knows how to stop the run. They held the Falcons' backfield to combine 89 yards with the two backs that they have. I don't see this being a high-scoring game like the total mentions. It's going to be a typical Iowa game. It's going to be super small, a lot of punts. It's going to be great for the Iowa fans that hopefully they can find a way to watch this game.
Talking with Colby Marshall, betting analyst for Betting News. Really quick before we move on to some baseball, I want to hit a college game. It's the college game, obviously, that everyone is talking about. It's Tennessee, and they're the hot team now. Obviously, they put up a ton of points last week, and everyone wants to bet them. Everyone loves their quarterback, Nico Iamaliva, and you are laying it with them this week. You're going to just jump on this train against Oklahoma.
I am a believer, so I think I was right there. It was a layup. I got the number at, I think, 6.5. Let me check. I'm so sorry. I think I got it at 6.5. I think that is the only number you take for this team. So unless it comes back down, I think it's the under. I think it's too scary to trust Oklahoma in their first true SEC game. Their defense is a little bit better than they were in the Big 12, but they're so used to Oklahoma being all offense, and their defense just being so mediocre that they're able to get by these games. I want to buy in on Tennessee. Something in me is just like, I don't know. Something about this team seems a little fraudulent. You didn't play anyone that good. Yep. Now they're in Norman. I've always been an OU guy. But it's really weird for me taking Tennessee on. But that number was so perfect, in my opinion. It's going to be it could be a high-scoring game, but I think it's the under because I feel like everyone is going to be on it, and OU's defense probably shows up. It's just a game you get out of bed for. If you're sleeping in your own bed Saturday morning for this, you shouldn't be playing college football. This is a game you get up for.
That's the game where I wish I was still in college. Like, I wish I had, like, I would kill to be on that campus for this game. I'm sure it's, I mean, you're going to have people lining up at like 3 a.m. in tents, and I probably would have been one of them in that situation, but I went to Illinois, so I never was. But this
I went to DePaul. I have
so,
no idea.
So we're both in the same spot. We both have no idea. Well, this is Early Odds 670 The Score. Talking with Colby Marcio, betting analyst for Betting News. Appreciate your time. Let's talk about one other game. Let's talk about a local game. Northern Illinois, the darling of college football right now. Everybody loves them, especially obviously after they beat Notre Dame. They're ranked now inside the rankings, but you're going the other way with Buffalo.
Oh, come on. Now, I live by a lot of theories, and this one checked off two of them. So obviously, we watch sports. Jake, tell me we don't watch sports for stuff like this. NIU upsetting Notre Dame in South Bend.
Oh, yeah.
I want that every single week. However, you don't cry. You do. Oh, they didn't storm the field because they're on the road. Sorry. That you don't cry. I'm sorry. I don't care how big the win is. That's not a national championship. You do not cry. I'm looking right in the camera right now. You do not cry unless you won the whole dang thing. I'm so sorry. I know how emotional that win is, but it's an automatic fade for me in the next week. Or sorry, they have the bye. Now they're playing Buffalo. 14.5 is the number. I took Buffalo at 14. I'm missing the hook. I feel terrible about that. However, their coach doesn't even seem to be prepared for this game. He's done literally every interview that anyone's ever asked him. I don't think he's going to be prepared for this game. Rightfully so. Get the NIU brand out there. I respect it. You got to do what you got to do. But Buffalo has been battle-tested. They played Missouri. They should be ready to go. I don't care if Northern Illinois is ranked. Buffalo should cover this spread. Now, the Fade the Tears and Fade the Storm is 0-0-1. It pushed Central Michigan 21.5 against Illinois. Well, I'll be keeping more track of that because college basketball is coming up, and that is where you get the storms and the crying all the time, and I live for that.
Well, let's spin it forward to some baseball because you mentioned theories. I know you have an absolute banger of a theory as we're coming down the pipe and the regular season's ending. And I know you got one that is going to be very prevalent for the next week or so as these clinchers start to happen. So explain to the people what your champagne theory is.
Yes, this is actually Nate Jacobson's theory. He mentioned it last night. He said, I invented this in 2015. Absolutely hilarious. If you gamble on a regular basis and you don't have your own theories, stuff like that, like baseball, you have the day after theory. I wanted a guy to hit a home run yesterday. Let's bet him again today, the day after theory. Somehow, Jake, I don't understand how it works. I usually don't do it because I'm not wasting my money back-to-back days, but somehow they usually homer the next day. It sucks. Champagne theory. Last night, the Brewers pop champagne. They won the NL Central for back-to-back years. They're popping champagne. I had inside info. I asked someone I know that works for the Brewers. I said, 1 to 10, how hungover are these guys going to be tomorrow? And she said they're at an 8.5 right now. That was at 11 o'clock. She said the coach has them partying until midnight. What are they really going to stop at midnight? These are grown men. They can do whatever they want. They're not in high school like, hey, it's bedtime. They should come out tonight against the Diamondbacks and be a little sluggish. Another one that popped some champagne yesterday. I'm a Yankees fan. And George Steinbrenner is probably rolling over in his grave after witnessing the Yankees celebrate clinching the playoffs. Not even the AL East. Clinching the playoffs. What are we, the Rays? What are we, the Rays putting up? Oh, we got a wild card. What is this? This is pathetic. What are we, the Indianapolis Colts? It's just, it doesn't make any sense. If this wasn't my favorite team, I would be all over Seattle tonight, but I don't bet on my favorite team unless I really like the play. It's where more's going to be coming, and I will be keeping track of all these. Just, oh, you clinched the playoffs. I don't understand it.
Well, I mean, that's something to keep track of, though, as we come down the last week or so. Whenever these teams clinch, next day, fade them. I actually like that spot. I think that's a really good spot to take the other side, as we say, the hashtag spot. But I love how mad you are about the clinching. I do get it, though. Like, you just clinched the playoffs. You were supposed to. Congratulations. You did your job. People wanted you to win 90-plus games, 99-plus games, and you made the playoffs against a terrible Mariners team. Let's celebrate. That's a good look, though. I do want to ask you, you, though, what you're thinking, because we talked a little bit about the World Series, and you said to me, this thing seems wide open, and I do agree with you. So looking at this, I mean, get your thoughts first, and then we can maybe bounce a couple ideas around, but who do you have anybody circled yet? Is there anybody that you definitely don't want? Like, what are you thinking as we're about a week or so, 10 days out from the MLB postseason?
So typically, I'm not a big future guy unless I have a really good gut feeling. I don't think I do well with them. Last year, I'll forever kick myself for this. I think it was June. I said at work, I said that the Rangers are going to win the World Series. This is the best team by far, best offense. They have a decent pitching rotation that should be able to get them through the playoffs. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, the Dodgers will probably win it, whatever. And then once the Dodgers were out, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I was like, these guys are so going to win the World Series. And then everyone was like, this is the worst World Series ever. Wrong. It was the best playoff run ever. That was the most perfect team to win it. The small markets, they deserved it. It was amazing. But this year, I don't have a feeling. It's so wide open. I have a show on Tuesdays, the Pickoff on Betting News, the Twitch stream. And I was just going through it with the chat, and I was just like, none of these are grabbing me. I could see these going anywhere. I don't know if there's really value there for other people out there, but I would go for the long shots. I mean, the Royals is probably a no. The Guardians is kind of scary. Their offense, if they're at home because they have the new progressive feel with the jet stream and the wind out there for the lefties. It's just there's so many teams. Like, I don't trust the Dodgers. I don't care if you have the Monstars playing baseball. I don't care. You've been doing this for a decade. You got one World Series that people are putting asterisks on. Nobody's really grabbing me. I don't know. Is anyone grabbing you? Do you have, like, two teams in mind?
I have been of the thought, I've been saying this for about a month, maybe longer, that I think it's going to be Diamondbacks Astros, and I think the Diamondbacks are going to pull the 2015 Royals, and I think they're going to go back and do it. I think, because we've seen this before, and the Diamondbacks kind of did the same thing that 2015 Royals team did, where they reloaded, they added at the trade deadline, and then they added more pieces, and also they had young guys get further into their prime and grow up. And Corbin Carroll, I mean, thankfully the Diamondbacks, Corbin Carroll remembered who he is in the second half. Remember that he's a really good baseball player. So I think the Diamondbacks are going to go back. I love that pitching rotation. Even without Jordan Montgomery being good, I still think that with Gallen and Kelly and Rodriguez and Fought, I think they have some there, especially with Ryan Nelson breaking out lately as well. So I think it's going to be the Diamondbacks, and it's just the Astros. Like, I think it's just that's what it's going to be. And everybody, you as a Yankee fan, I know you hate to hear this, but it's just what they do. And they've proved in the second half. They've played really, really well. Kyle Tucker returns from the injured list. He was an MVP candidate beforehand. Their rotation scares me a little bit, but I think that American League is wide open. I think it's going to be the Diamondbacks. Kind of, it's a little bit of emotional bias because I liked them last year, and I had said that before the season that I liked their win total and to make the playoffs, and they broke my heart. But I think they're an even better team this year. That's what I think. But, I mean, if you had to make a guess, throw a dart right now. World Series matchup. You don't have to pick the winner, but throw a dart for us right now.
Oh, God. I really, really love your Diamondbacks look. And we all know Brandon Fott sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks. Absolutely terrible. But don't forget, last year in the playoffs, he was lights out. I put like $4, $5 on him to win the Cy Young this year because I thought he was going to turn around because of how well he did in the playoffs. Well, he's still Brandon Fott. If I had to pick, oh, God, I won't say the Yankees. We'll do. I can't say the Yankees because I never have trust in them. I will take your Diamondbacks because they're the best team in the first five scoring. They absolutely crush starting pitchers in the first five innings. They score so many runs and no one's talking about them. It's just you and me. We're literally the only people currently in media talking about the Diamondbacks. Nobody's speaking about them. They're having such a quiet second half. Oh, AL. Oh. Well, I kind of agree with your Astros, but I hate it so much. You know what? Give me I can't think of anybody. I have no thoughts. I'm drawing a blank. I want to say
you're Yankees. You can say you're Yankees. That's okay.
They're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. But it's the Yankees. I'll just say the Yankees because they better turn it up in the playoffs. You got all these people. You got all these pieces. You got two of the best hitters on the planet. Come on. Put it together. Gerrit Cole gets it together, they're going to be absolutely dangerous. Other than that, the rest of the lineup, just please wake up.
That is their issue. He's Colby Marcio, betting analyst for Betting News here on 670 The Score on Early Odds with me. Colby, appreciate it. Appreciate the time, and follow him on Twitter at @C_Marcio, M-A-R-C-H-I-O 2. Follow him. He does great Twitter spaces, does great content. Appreciate it, brother. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
No, thank you. It means a lot. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. This is Early Odds 670 The Score. When we come back after the quick break, going to give all of my picks for the college football slate, talk some more NFL picks, and of course, I have to rant about Luis Ciel because, oh my God, that guy. So stick with us. Quick break. Early Odds continues on the other side. All right, welcome back in Early Odds with Jake Hassan on 670 The Score. Closing out the show here, last couple of minutes. Really quick, just want to thank Colby Marcio again, betting analyst for Betting News. He's the man. Really appreciate his time. If you missed our chat with him, my talk with him in the last segment, can go listen to it on the podcast or rewind it. Had some really good takes for football this weekend, for later today, for tomorrow's NFL slate as well, and a hashtag theory for MLB as we come down to the last few games in the last week of the regular season. So a lot of really good nuggets from Colby there. So thanks once again to Colby Marcio, and you can follow Colby on Twitter. As full disclosure, I'm filibustering right now because I didn't have it written down. That's bad job by me. But it's at @C_Marcio, M-A-R-C-H-I-O, and the number 2. So thank you once again to Colby. But wrapping up here, it's time for me to give my picks. Did the NFL breakdown in the first segment, so if you missed that, I gave out a bunch of games and some thoughts and some awards thoughts in the NFL market in the first segment. So go listen to that or rewind if you missed that. But a couple of college football thoughts for later today. I think the big one that we need to talk about is this Oklahoma State and Utah game. So Utah was favored, you know, to start this slate, I guess, or to start this game earlier in the week. And then it was announced that Cam Rising, the quarterback for Utah, who's in like his ninth year of college football, is not playing in this game. So starting quarterback is out. Cam Rising is not going to play for Utah. And this opened Oklahoma State +1.5, +2. Rising was announced as out, and the number flipped. Oklahoma State was then favored. And now we've come back to Utah being favored again. I don't know if people are actually less bullish on Cam Rising being out, if maybe they like the backup quarterbacks for Utah, and one of their backup is Isaac Wilson, the brother of Zach Wilson, who, yeah, we know he wasn't good in the NFL, but he was a really good college player. So all of that happened. We've gone back and forth and back and forth. And now the reason is Cam Rising might actually be playing in this game. And it's very, very interesting. It's very bizarre. Honestly, regardless, I kind of like Utah regardless of who's playing quarterback in this game. Whether it's Rising with this injury that he's managing or if it's Isaac Wilson, I kind of like this spot for Utah. I think that they have a really strong team. I've been playing on them all year in most of their games, and it's gone up and down because Rising got hurt and against Baylor and whatever. Not the point. But I kind of like Utah. So in this game, it's been bouncing all around. Right now, it's Utah -1.5. I would play that. You know, if it's at 2, I would just play the money line. But -1.5, I am fine with Utah. It's a weird game. It's gone all over the place. No matter who's playing quarterback, we don't have an announcement yet, but I'll take Utah on the spread -1.5 or the money line if it's more than that. So that's the big one. I think that's the one that everyone is looking at right now. The other one, though, the biggest game of the week of the slate, Oklahoma and Tennessee. And everyone loves Tennessee right now because they put up a billion points in their last game. And Nico Amileva is, see how I sped that up to try and sound confident? I don't know. I probably butchered it. But Nico Amileva was awesome. He is a Heisman candidate right now. He looks great. But if you're going to give me Oklahoma catching 7, which is where we're at right now, I'll take that at home. I like this Oklahoma team. I think they've been really strong all year long. They have an explosive offense that can definitely keep up with Tennessee. And I think their defense is better than we're giving them credit for. So in this spot, I'm going to take Oklahoma. I'll take the points with them. They're at home in this spot as well. So I'll take it. I'll take the points. I think there's a chance they even win the game outright. But I know everybody loves Tennessee. I'm going to go contrarian. I'm going to take Oklahoma. Listen, we know what Mario Cristobal does. Gets out to these fast starts, he gets everybody excited, and then he just falls flat on his face. I'm going to take the two touchdowns with University of South Florida today, going against the U and Cam Ward, who also looks awesome and is a Heisman candidate. This is just what happens with Cristobal. He sets us all up, we get all excited, and then it's just a face plant. I'm not saying that USF has to win the game, but if you're giving me more than two touchdowns, and again, this is a USF team too that played Alabama really, really close. I know the box score doesn't show it, but at the end of the third quarter, USF was down by 1 point. This is also a very experienced USF team. They're one of the most experienced teams in college football. They had a ton of starters from last year's team return. And this is just one of those rivalry spots where, even though Miami doesn't consider it a rivalry maybe necessarily, USF definitely does. Because these are the guys that either didn't make it into Miami or didn't make the team at Miami and they had to go to USF. And they probably know a lot of each other on the other side. So I'm taking USF. I'm taking the points. I think this is a Cristobal classic spot where it's a much closer game than you think, as always. So recap. I'm taking Oklahoma against Tennessee. I will take them. I'll take the points. I am taking Utah. I am laying the 1.5. I'm taking the money line. I like them against Oklahoma State. And I'm taking University of South Florida, catching more than two touchdowns, honestly. So I'll take them in that spot as well. Want to close with some baseball, as I always do. AL Rookie of the Year and NL Rookie of the Year are still wide open. It's down to two guys in each race for the most part. It's Austin Wells versus Luis Gil, teammates, starting pitcher versus starting catcher. And in the NL, it's Jackson Merrill versus Paul Skeens. I'll start with the NL. I'm starting to think that Skeens is going to win this thing because Jackson Merrill has kind of gone cold. He's not hitting nearly as well. And Skeens has pitched really well. People love him. People want to vote for him. I think that this is a spot where Skeens, if he continues to pitch well in his last couple of starts, I think that he can run this down and honestly take the award from Jackson Merrill, which, yeah, hand up. I tried to beat Skeens all year long. And if I'm wrong, if I lose to a generational pitcher who is one of the best that we've ever seen and is only going to get better, yeah, I mean, I'll take that. I'll take that loss. I will wear that one on the chin. That is perfectly fine. You know, I'll keep trying to beat pitchers too in this awards market going forward too, because it's just every now and then you get a unicorn, and Paul Skeens is a unicorn. Not saying that he has to win, not saying that it's over, but I'm starting to think that if Jackson Merrill is going to continue being cold, I'm gonna assume that Skeens is gonna win if he keeps pitching well as well. So Skeens at a plus price, if you have nothing in this market, kind of think that's worth a bet. And then in the American League, I think the price is wrong. I don't think Luis Gil should be this big of a favorite. I think that this is wrong. He has been extremely, extremely lucky. It helps that none of the hitters, Colton Cowser, Willy Abreu, Austin Wells, have all seemingly forgotten how to hit. But I think that if Luis Gil has a blow-up start tomorrow against the A's, I think that Austin Wells is going to be your favorite. I think Luis Gil is dying to give a game away. The A's have been a very good offense. I can't wait to bet the A's tomorrow. Their team total overs, their props over. Lawrence Butler is awesome. Like, I will be betting the A's aggressively tomorrow. I think Luis Gil is very due for a blow-up start. And if he doesn't, then maybe he just wins and I lose to two pitchers. And again, that one will infuriate me. I'll be very tilted if I lose that one to Luis Gil. But can't win them all, you know, and sometimes that's just how it happens. Maybe the luck for Luis Gil is just there. Thanks to Wyatt Langford, by the way, for figuring out who he is when there's no time left. Really awesome. Appreciate that. But just some thoughts there on AL and NL Rookie of the Year. I think if Luis Gil has a blow-up start on Sunday or tomorrow against the A's, then I think it's Austin Wells, and I think he has very much a runway to win the award. And Skeens, if he keeps pitching the way that he is, he's going to win this award in the last, and he might just steal it from Jackson Merrill, barring Jackson Merrill going on a hot streak to close the season, because I do think he's in the lead right now, but I think Skeens, with you know, a couple strong starts to finish the year, can steal it right back. And, you know, he was a minus 5,000 favorite a couple months ago, as he rightfully should have been. But that does it for this edition of Early Odds. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Appreciate everyone hanging out and listening as always. Appreciate you guys for stopping by. I'm Jake Hassan. This is 670 The Score. This is Early Odds. Thanks for listening. Thanks again to Colby Marcio of Betting News. Appreciate him stopping by. Anything you missed, rewind it. Catch it in the podcast. Gave a bunch of stuff, a bunch of thoughts. You're running out of time to bet these college football games. Gave a lot of thoughts on that. So thanks again to everybody. I have been Jake Hassan. This is Early Odds. This is 670 The Score. We'll see you next week.